This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is titled, Faith Towards God. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith involves having a steadfast assurance and placing trust, reliance, and complete persuasion. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
All right, I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Actually, I want you to turn to chapter 5. Let me just take a moment and do a quick rewind about what I've been covering for the past few weeks. So December 31st, I shared that it is our mandate from God to be developing disciples. That's what God is assigned to us to do, to develop dynamic disciples. I want you to ask the person right next to you what discipleship program at First Baptist you have been to. Go ahead. You have completed. Go ahead. Ask the person. Ask them. Wait for an answer. Now, if you have not completed any of our discipleship programs or any program ever, matter of fact, you know, it doesn't have to even be here at First Baptist Church. But if you haven't completed any program, that's a problem. Because in the scripture, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives the mandate to develop dynamic disciples. This is what he says, develop disciples. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations.
1:28:24.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is titled, Baptism. There are five baptisms in the Bible. Repentance, spiritual baptism, suffering, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and water baptism. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
That's the ultimate question.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Baptism does not save you. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.
We are instructed to make disciples. So I'm not only asking what discipleship programs have you completed.
This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is titled, Laying On of Hands. Laying on of hands can be done without anyone physically touching you. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Teach it to others. Deposit it in others.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Who you allow to lay hands on you makes a difference. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.
Find out where have you gone. And so, the last couple Sundays, I've talked about, the last few Sundays,
2:11:24.
This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is titled, Resurrection of the Dead. Pastor Jenkins highlights what happens when we die, emphasizing that our...
gives us six things that are the core element. Matter of fact, the scripture calls them the elementary oracles of God, the basics that you need to make sure you understand and know. You will not be able to stand before God when he asks you about this and say that Pastor Jenkins did not tell you. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor's teaching you right now. Go ahead, tell him. So in chapter 5 of Hebrews, did I say chapter 6 or did I say chapter 5? Okay, I'm saying chapter 5. I want you to go to chapter 5. And let me read verses 12, 13, 14. It says this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Some of you have been a part of the church for so long, and yet you still don't know some basic things. And that's what this is saying. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You've been around this ministry, around the teaching of the word, long enough that there are certain things you ought to know, he's saying. He said, but the problem is you've come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I recognize as the pastor of this church that there are some people who don't know the difference between what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. It's problematic. And so, therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection means maturity. Let's go on to a place of maturity. Somebody say maturity back at me. Not laying again the foundations of, and then he lists those six things: repentance from the dead works, faith toward God, the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgments. Those are the six basic things. That's the outline of what I'm going to be covering over the next several weeks. Last week we covered repentance from dead works. We talked about repentance. Repentance means making a change. It means to make an about face. It's not a 360 degree change. It's a 180 degree change. It means you're going in the complete opposite direction than what you've been going. If you make a 360 degree change, you hit it right back in the same direction you already been going. A 180 degree change means I'm going in the opposite direction. Somebody say opposite direction. And so he says to us with challenge. Number one, repent from dead works. What's a dead work? I told you last week, a dead work is anything that you do to try to gain salvation. You sing in a choir because you want to be saved. You serve on the ushers because you want to be saved. If you serve anywhere because you want to be saved, that's a dead work. God does not save us by works. We are not saved by what you do. We're saved by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. And so he tells us to repent. Get off of that street. Get off of that road where you think that working gets you saved. Amen. Thank all five of y'all for that rousing amen. It's okay. You know what? Do y'all know that when y'all don't say amen, I hear the angels telling me, preach on, pastor. They say to me, they ain't with you, but heaven is with you. So y'all stingy. Keep your amens to yourself. Repentance from dead works. We work not to get saved. We work because we are saved. Yeah. Because something has changed in our hearts. God did something in our hearts that gave us a desire to be a service to other people. That's why we do what we do. We don't do it to get saved. We do it because we are saved. So we talked about that last week. Today we're going to talk about faith. Here's the second component of these six things. Number two, what you ought to know, what you got to understand, what you should be teaching other people is faith. And the latter part of verse 1 of chapter 6 says faith toward God. That's what I want to talk about. Let me just take these next few moments and talk about faith. I want to talk about faith. I want to challenge you about faith. I want to teach you about faith. I want to encourage you about faith. I want to talk about what faith is not. I want to talk about what faith is, and I want to talk about what faith is not. Let's be clear. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not presumption that you presume. Faith is not self-confidence. As a matter of fact, if you want to know the definition of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives it to us. Slide over to chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's just two or three pages over. to chapter 11. And in verse 1, it gives us the definition of what faith is. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And somebody said, well, I don't understand that. That's why I knew somebody would feel that way. That's why I also made arrangements to read it to you from other translations. Let me tell you what the New American Standard Version says. The New American Standard Version says this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, y'all didn't get it. Let me try the NIV translation, NIV, New International Version. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Let me read that to y'all again. Y'all missed that. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let me read it to you from the Message Bible. It says, here's the Message Bible. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The New Living Bible says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of the things we cannot see. Let me boil that down to you, that faith is a firm conviction. I am persuaded and convicted and assured. It is, faith is having trust. It is to rely on. It is to be fully persuaded. It's not just giving credence to something. It's not that it is actually putting our trust in something. It is our whole firm belief and trust and rely upon. We are fully persuaded. We have a firm conviction. That's what faith is. I am fully convinced, fully persuaded. I believe to the bottom of my heart in something. That's faith. It's the ability to trust God. Faith sees God doing what cannot be humanly done. It is submitting to the will and the plan of God. That's what faith is. I'm submitting to the will and the plan of God. That's what faith is. I'm going to do what God says. Faith says, I'm going to pay my tithes even though I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Faith says, I'm fasting and turning my plate down right now because I believe by me doing this before God, He's going to bless me and reward me and give me the victory. Faith says that when somebody hurts me, instead of me fighting and trying to hurt them back, I'm going to love them, and I know that God will fight my battle and take care of them. Faith is believing, seeing what you read in the scripture and believing it and acting upon that, even though the circumstances might be contrary to that. And so my assignment today, for just a few moments, I'll be finished in just a couple minutes. Y'all don't mean that. I know that. I want to walk you through and encourage you, to challenge you on this element of faith. That's who we are, what we are, how we live our life. We are people of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, we are people of faith. We walk by faith. We act by faith. We are convicted by our faith. We're going to live our life by faith. And here's the first thing I want you to understand. Here's number one, that faith, here's my first point. Faith is a requirement for a walk with God. It's a requirement for a walk with God. You cannot have a relationship with God if you don't have faith. Now, here's what Hebrews 11 says. Slide back to Hebrews 11. Can I read verse 6? Can I read verse 6 of Hebrews 11? Here's what it says. Here's what verse 6. Did I say verse 6? Let me read verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ooh, it's a shout. A shout goes right there that If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. There's nothing you can do to please God if you don't have faith. See, a lot of people think, okay, well, I did so-and-so, and I did this, and I went to church, and I paid my tithes, and I sang in the choir, but my life didn't change, and I didn't see anything happen, and I didn't see God do anything for me. That's because you did things, but you didn't have faith. God doesn't move by you doing things. He moves by faith. Faith, somebody's hearing me. I'm hoping somebody's hearing me. Faith is what moves God. When you know that you know that you know that you know, when you believe, when you are convicted, when in the core of your heart, you believe that God is a way maker. You believe that God is a miracle worker. When you believe to the core of your being in the God that we serve, that's what moves God. Faith moves God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I love this verse right here, Hebrews 11:6, because He says that he that comes to God must believe that He is. You got to know that He exists, that He's real. You got to know that you know that He's a real person, and that He will reward those who diligently, honestly seek after Him. And so without that kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. And as a matter of fact, if I could say so myself, I read through the book of this 11th chapter, and there are a number of people listed in Hebrews 11. Matter of fact, slow down, Pastor. Hebrews 11 is God's hall of fame for faith. Listed in Hebrews 11 are some people who lived by faith and walked by faith and trusted God for certain things. For example, Abel is listed because Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice that was done by faith, and God honored it. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. He was taken up, and he walked by faith. Noah built the ark. It had never rained, but he built the ark and put all of the animals in there by faith, because God told him to do it. He did it by faith. Abraham left his home. He was living in his home, in his only place he had ever lived, his only community, his only town he had lived. But God told him to pack up your stuff, take your family, and leave. And he did that, not knowing where he was going. But he did it by faith. Sarah conceived and bore a child when she was beyond childbearing age by faith. She gave birth to a child by faith, by faith. Abraham offered up that very same child, Isaac, to God, believing that if he sacrificed the child to God, that God would raise him up. But thanks be to God, God stopped him from the sacrifice. But he was willing. I wish y'all knew the Bible. I wouldn't have to explain everything to you. Moses, by faith, was hidden by his mother after he was born in order to preserve his life. His mother, by faith, put him in a crib, put him in a basket, and put it in the river and let it sail down the riverbank, believing that somehow the child would be rescued. By faith, she took her baby and put it in a basket and believed that God would have somebody who was capable of rescuing. I'm just talking about people who live by faith. That when God tells you to do something, you do what God tells you to do, and you believe that God is somehow going to work it out. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody here today knows that there's a God who by faith can work miracles. Somehow by faith, He'll fight your battles. Somehow by faith, He'll answer your prayers. Somehow by faith, He'll give you the victory. Somehow by faith, He'll meet your needs. Somehow by faith, He'll heal your body. Somehow by faith, go on and preach, Pastor. Somehow by faith, He'll give you the money to pay your bills. Somehow by faith, He'll fix what's broken. Somehow by faith, He will work a miracle in your life. Who am I talking to today? David, by faith, walked out to the battlefield when all of the other soldiers of the army were hiding over in a ditch, because the giant Goliath was standing in the middle of the field waiting for one of the soldiers from the Israeli army to come out and do battle with him. But none of the soldiers would. They were all scared. They were all afraid. But David, by faith, gathered 5 stones and took his slingshot and walked out in the middle of the field. And by faith, killed Goliath. I like his attitude. I like David's attitude. When he got down to the battlefield and saw the soldiers hiding over, he said, "What's going on down here?" I like this service. I can go ahead and take my time. And I didn't have time in any of my other services to take my time and walk through here like this. I should have. I should have took my time, but I didn't. But I love David's attitude, because he went and he got down there and saw the soldiers cowering over in a ditch. And when David said, "What's going on here?" they said, the Philistines' giant, their soldier, they challenged us to send out our strongest soldier to come out and battle Goliath, the big Goliath. And we're scared. We're over here. We're hiding in the ditch. And I like David said, "How dare this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God?" When you're a child of God and you know you got God on your side, you say, "How dare you stand up against the God you serve?" And he went out there with those five smooth stones, and he only needed one, and he wrapped that thing around and killed Goliath. I'm by faith he did that. Somebody say, "By faith." And I'm here to tell somebody here today, God is waiting by faith to tear down whatever is standing in the way of you and your miracle. All he's looking for is for you to stand up and have faith. All he's looking for is for you to believe and hope and trust and stand on his promises and do what he said and believe what he said and have confidence in what he said. Go on and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. Who am I preaching to? Who am I making a declaration to? Somebody here today needs to do what God told you to do. He told you to start a business. He told you to write the book. He told you to write the song. He told you to do whatever it is he told you to do. Do what God told you to do by faith. Lean over to your neighbor and say, "He preaching better than you are saying amen." Some of y'all are sitting down like bumps on a log. It's okay. All of heaven is standing behind me and telling me to preach on. I hear them. I hear it. I feel the angels waving me on and saying, "Preach on, Pastor. Tell them." You know what they said? "Tell them, Pastor, tell them. Tell them, bind that devil of doubt. Bind that devil of fear. Bind that devil of frustration. Bind that devil that's keeping them doing nothing. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Preach faith to them. Tell them to stand strong. Tell them to have confidence." God requires faith. Some of you will never see the power of God flowing in your life because you don't walk in faith. Now, that's point one. Here's point two. I only got three. I'll be finished in a minute. The second point is your faith has to be directed toward God. Now, that's an important thing, because some of y'all are directing your faith in the wrong direction. You don't put your faith in others. You don't put it in yourself. You don't put it in rituals. You don't put it in things, statutes, habits. You don't put it in institutions, fraternities, sororities, lodges. I feel tension in the room. You don't put faith in your word, but his word. You don't put faith in your ability, but in his ability. You don't put faith in your character, but his character. Not in your power, but his power. Well, Pastor, how do you do that? Here's how I do it in my own personal life. I put my faith in his son. See, in Hebrews 6, it says faith toward God. My confidence is in God. I put my faith in God through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? It means I believe, first of all, I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he lived for 30-odd years. I believe he lived a sin-free life. I believe he was crucified on the cross for our sins. I believe when they hung him on the cross and when they nailed him on the cross and nailed him in his hands and in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head and pierced him in his side, when the blood came out, that blood came out washes away all of my sins. I believe when he hung on that cross and died, I believe he died, they buried him in a grave. I believe when they buried him in the grave, he stayed in that grave for 3 days, and early on Sunday morning, I believe he got up out of that grave. I believe he did what nobody else has ever done. He conquered death and got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. Go on and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. He was raised from the dead. I believe that. And guess what? I believe that one day he is coming back again. I don't know where you're putting your trust, but many of you are putting your trust in all the wrong places, in all the wrong people. It's not toward God. I'm here today to declare that my faith is in Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. By the way, there's not many roads to heaven. There's only one. Some of y'all been twisted and confused, and you listen to the world that they tells you there's many roads to heaven. There are not many roads to heaven. How do you know, Pastor? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. He's the only way. And if you haven't given him your heart, if you haven't given him your life, if you haven't put your trust in him, if you haven't put your faith in what he did on the cross, if you haven't believed that he's God wrapped up in human form and that he did all that he said he did, you are going to go to hell. I don't get any joy or excitement in that. That's why I preach every week, hard every Sunday, and I make the declaration that he died. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and that he died on the cross because I'm trying to save you from going to hell. I'm trying to get you right with God. I'm trying to get you in a place to put your faith in Jesus so you can get born again and have eternal life. Jesus is the only way, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. There's not many roads. There's one road to heaven, and that is through Jesus. So my question is, where is your faith? Where have you put your confidence? Who do you believe? Where have you put your confidence? I asked the question. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you've been believing in the wrong thing, in the wrong people, in the wrong places. Oh yeah, we all believe in something. Yeah, everybody has faith and belief in something. And my assignment is to tell you, make sure that your faith is directed toward God, the true and the living God. Here's my final point, and I'm out of your hair. I leave you alone. I believe you alone. I'm going home. By the way, did y'all see my Ravens last night? I mean, Saturday. It was on Saturday. Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah. Ooh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I know it had nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. It has nothing to do with it. But I'm just shouting and giving God the glory. Let me leave it alone. Let me just. I'm not going to say nothing about Dallas. I ain't going to call Dallas out. But wasn't it good the way the Green Bay just. Don't play a hate. Don't get mad. Okay, let me leave it alone. I don't know. It just popped up in my spirit. Here's my final point. My third and final point. Y'all got my first point, right? Y'all got my second point? Here's the third one, that faith without works is dead. That's in James 2:20 and 2:26. In those two verses, it says, they both verses say that faith without works is dead. If you say you believe, but yet there's no evidence of it, then your faith is dead. Let me be clear. Let me just make sure I'm clear. I don't want to confuse anybody. If I say I have faith, but there's nothing that demonstrates it, then that faith is not alive. It's dead. It's in our faith without works. Faith without works. If you have faith, then some works would be accompanied by it. I don't work to get saved. I work because I am saved. Something in me, something in my heart, something in my spirit motivates me to do what I do because of my faith in Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus and he comes and lives in you, there ought to be some evidence. There ought to be some sign that you, in fact, have a personal relationship with God. For some of you, there's no evidence. You say you're a Christian. You say you believe, but the way you're living and the way you're walking, and there's no evidence to it. And so my assignment, my job, my call, my mandate is to tell you to put your faith toward God. Now, I'm finished. I'm closed. Bringing my plane in for a landing, pulling my boat into the dock, my car into the garage. I'm putting the dishes in the dishwasher, the clothes in the dryer. I'm finished. But not before I challenge you that the God we serve and wants a relationship with you. He knows where your faith is. And by the way, it don't take a whole lot of faith to get saved. It just takes a faith the size, the grain of a mustard seed. It just takes a little bit of faith. And if you would just put a little bit of faith in Jesus, he will save you.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Faith is a requirement for a walk with God. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.